Hello, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. John Saxberg here, your host here at Red Vital. Now, I'm going to talk to you today about my story, about me, about how I got delivered from alcohol. The power that breaks it. It's the salvation is the power that breaks the addictions, and it's the power that breaks the yoke. The thing about it is you have to become born again fully. You got to step completely over. You can't just give a little bit of it and keep the rest for yourself. It's got to be, you got to give your entire life over. Amen. Open your Bibles, and I'm gonna start in with this broadcast. A little prayer. Father God, I thank you for this time, and thank you for this word, your word. I thank you for the people watching this broadcast. Thank you that everybody that's going to be touched, that the souls are going to be ministered to, people are going to be ministered to, people's lives are going to be changed, and we want to give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, turn with me to John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, saying, and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, and for no one can do these signs and wonders that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb? Can he be born?" Jesus answered him and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water, of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born again of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" Jesus said, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to, and that what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how do you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into the heaven except..." Back then, people didn't ascend into heaven. They went into paradise back then. "No, he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man, and as Moses lifted up the serpent to the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whoever believes in him must have eternal life." It goes on, "For God so," in verse 16, 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned. Who believes in him is not condemned. Whoever believes in him is not condemned." I'm going to correct that, verse 18. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the judgment: the light has come into the world, and the people loved the light, the people and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone that does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes into the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. I want to talk to you today about this. This is kind of like me, in a sense. From around my preteen years and then into my throughout my teenage years and then even up into my 20s until I was age 20, I was addicted to alcohol. I became heavily addicted to alcohol. I caused problems with my parents. It started out, it was kept under ramps. But when I got into my mid-teens, my parents started seeing signs of it. And noticing that there was something not going right with me. I wasn't coming home. I was going out, hitting the bars. Until people started, and then it started manifesting, and it got really bad where I was just coming home, and I wasn't coming home at all. My mom and dad had to go around looking at the bars to see where I was at. So I decided to go somewhere else, besides Glee Mate, and get drunk. It was a crazy thing that happened to me. First of all, one of the reasons why I drank was not feeling out of place in school. And secondly, and actually that's the first, which should be the first thing, around age 11 or 12, I began to hear this voice telling me, I want you to serve my kingdom. I'm going to have you, in the days to come, you're going to serve my kingdom. In the days to come, you're going to serve my kingdom. In the days to come, you're going to serve my kingdom. So I started to feel like I needed to drink it away to kind of do it. And I would go out, and this is the crazy part. I would go out on Saturday night to go drinking, go Friday drinking. I'd come back home and be hungover Saturday morning. Go to 5 o'clock mass up at St. Andrews, and I would get drunk after church, and then I thought, well, maybe I could just go back the next day and I can sober it up. And that only lasted for a couple weeks, and I was just full blown into it. I mean, after my high school days was over with, I mean, it started getting really worse. I started getting in trouble with the police. I started getting in trouble. I mean, it was not a good thing, to say the least. I went out one night, Friday night. It was like a couple weeks before, about a week before I actually went to the next part of my life, which really changed my life forever. I went to a tavern one night, and the next thing you know, I started quoting all these scriptures. The drunker I got, the more I started preaching. The more I started putting out the scriptures, I kept praying over people. Finally, I got kicked out of the bar for preaching. I mean, tell me, does God not have a sense of humor? Well, anyway, next week goes by. I mean, I was partying with these friends of mine a couple weeks prior to this event. And I walked in their house, and I happened to look around, they're playing Christian music and they're reading their Bibles. I'm thinking, what the heck happened here? I mean, what have you guys been hitting? You know? What you been doing? And lo and behold, they started telling me about Jesus. Well, I thought, okay. They invited me to church on Super Bowl Sunday, and I was talking to talk just to get them off my case. Their aunt and uncle, my friend's aunt and uncle, who were members of Life Christian Church, Francis and Trinda Sindelar, I got their daughter on my Facebook page, decided that we all met up on Tuesday night. We went to the Tuesday night service. Well, I'm sitting there looking around. People are laughing. People on the floor crying, rolling on the floor, speaking in tongues. And Pastor Rick brings a gal up there, lays hands on her, and she falls out. And I'm thinking, okay, And he started to give the microphone over to Mike Shepherd to do the altar call. Pastor Mike Shepherd to do the altar call because he was laying hands on people, call people up to get saved. And then I was still, to backtrack on that evening, before I went to church, I made sure I had quite a few beers down in my gut. I was pretty much smashed. And when I got up, I thought, yeah, you're going to get me to get up there and get saved and get up there on a microphone and make a fool out of me. You ain't getting me up there. I got up, I thought, I'll just go out and slip out to the lobby, because before I came into the place, I looked for the first payphone I could find so I can have an escape route. Anyway, lo and behold, I went to go out and make a phone call. I was going to call my dad and come pick me up and just slip on out of there. I get up and I walked out the aisle, started walking out, and Pastor Mike Shepherd at the time, he goes, "Sir, I was wearing a blue jacket. I got it right here." Yeah, he said, you, I was wearing this very jacket. He goes, "You, sir, in that blue and white jacket says Concrete Man on the back." I said, "Okay." I'm thinking, okay, what's up with this? He goes, "You're going to walk out of here make the worst mistake of your life. I suggest you come down here and give your life to Jesus." And it was like instantly I froze, and I just something clicked on in me, and I heard this voice said, "You've gone far enough. You've gone far enough." And I just literally turned around, and it was just the Holy Spirit, because I remember it was like, boom, I was back at down the altar. And when I was down at the altar, I remember I was sitting right there, tears started running down my face. I started shaking. I felt like a warm feeling coming over me. And next thing you know, I was sobered up. It was like instantly I was sobered up. And then when I gave my life, and I started giving my life to the Lord, when Pastor Rick led us all into the prayer of salvation, and Pastor Rick took over and started leading us in the prayer of salvation, and instantly that desire for alcohol was completely gone. That desire was gone. Because why? Because I became born of the Spirit. I became born of something of heaven. I stepped over into a new place and to a new person. That old man became dead. That old man became buried. Yeah, there was remnants of it still there. The appearances of it still, all the features of it still there. But not the new man you see before you. See, you got to understand something. When somebody is addicted, it's because they're wearing their old grave clothes. They're addicted to their old... They don't want to step out of their old grave clothes. When you step out of your grave clothes, that addiction doesn't want to take over. When I was addicted to alcohol, I wanted so bad to be out of it. But I remember when I finally was. I had to take care of some stuff and go through some stuff and walk out. It's a lot of screw ups and a lot of pain and a lot of. It was a long, lifelong process. I wasn't going to be immediately perfect, and I'm not perfect now. When I put that post I made, it was in a relationship with alcohol and bad decisions. That was me. That was me. Making bad decisions. Making my family worry about me. Making my mom and dad worry about me, worry about my safety, worry about my, and put my own life in danger. I mean, if I hadn't quit drinking, those boys, those two boys I had, those two beautiful boys and that beautiful little girl that I claim that are actually mine, my children, my own children, would not exist today. It was selfish on my part because I had a selfish mentality. What happened? Well, I don't need to do. I gotta live for me. You know, we gotta live. We can't live. We don't live for ourselves anymore. When you become born again, you die to all everything that you want, everything that you desire, everything that you need, everything that you ever want to possibly do. It's all laid down at that altar. When we lay this thing down at the altar, it all becomes dead. And the only person that could ever raise that thing back up to life again is Jesus Christ himself. I said the only person that's ever capable of resurrecting anything is Jesus Christ himself. We cannot go through life thinking that we can do it on our own. This self-help stuff, that self-help Christianity that's out there now, I've never seen a bunch of bogus, bunch of crap. There's no help. You can't, outside the Holy Spirit, you're helpless. You're dead in the water. You are a sitting duck for the enemy. You become a sitting duck. I mean, when you're sitting there stuck in that bondage, it could be addiction, could be to alcohol, addiction could be to drugs, to heroin, to pornography, to sexual sin, lust, perversion. You name it. It could be that whole realm of addiction goes everywhere, but Jesus Christ can deliver you from it. Well, I can't get delivered from it, but I know who can deliver you from it, though. I know somebody who can do the job, and you'll never want it again. I mean, you gotta step out. You gotta die to yourself. When you're talking about being born again, you gotta die to yourself and then live and let Jesus resurrect in you, and be baptized in the Holy Ghost. We've got to come back to the understanding that in order to get in heaven, you must be born again. I mean, you must die to all sin. I mean, this new grace revolution that's out there. Well, all sin is sin, and we all sin, so we're going to sin, so okay, let's just sin. Okay, let's go out and get naked, drunk, and cheat on our wives. Let's go out and do drugs. Let's go out and shoot up a place. Let's go out and let's just go out there and just raise all sorts of hell then, right? Because we're all sin. We all sin and sin. I mean, I've never seen a more demonic thing in my life. That is demonic. They even have that type of mentality. Cults have that mentality. The old cults have that mentality. Religious cults have that mentality. I mean, we've got to understand that yes, we do have things that bother us. We have the mindsets that we have to battle with all the time. Yes, you can get delivered from that mindset. You have to get delivered from that mindset. For one, that mindset is going to lead you straight into the ground. We've got to understand that this mindset that we have. We've got to understand that it becomes a pattern. Everything goes in its chain reaction. Discipline leads to sacrifice. Sacrifice leads to routine. Routine leads to consistency. Thought, an idea becomes a thought. A thought becomes an idea. An idea becomes rehearsed in your head. And then after you rehearse in your head, I mean, I forgot the order that it goes into. Pastor Rick's really good at that. I'd have to go look back on the stuff. I got the DVD here. I got to look it over. But once you get the you get that pattern down of disciplining yourself in the Word of God, when you have that urge to want to sin and want to fall back away from your salvation, you always want to come back and see what this, make it line up with this. It's got to be in that. You got to rely upon this. This is the foundation upon all truth. I mean, me and Pastor Josh agree totally. If it's not in here, I don't want it. But if it's in here, I want it. I want to abide by it. This is the foundation of all truth. It's not a book of men's writings. It's not a book of opinions. I mean, these jackasses that go around saying that this is a book of opinions, they're biting, they're shooting their foot to spite their face. I mean, I've actually heard pastors say this on Christian television. Well, you know, the Bible is the book of this is actually a book of opinions that were formally put together and canonized. And I'm like, no. This is the foundation of all truth. This is the written Word of God. This is Jesus in written form. This is the foundation of all truth. It is the absolute truth. It's nothing but the truth, the absolute truth, so help me God. That's why they make you swear on the Bible in courtroom. You swear on the truth of the foundation of all truth. Do you put yourself in line with this Word when you're getting up on our stand? We have to be born again. Being born again means you got to forsake everything. You got to forsake your addictions. You don't understand. I'm a female, but I like other females, so I want to date other females. And I can still call myself a Christian and date men and women. I can call myself a Christian. I'm a male, and I can date. No, you can't. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. If you're a believer, then you're going to believe what God's Word says about sexual sin. I'm not trying to get on some bandwagon on it. I mean, it's the same way it was with alcoholism. Or better yet, here, let me put it in a better perspective. This marijuana craze that people in the church are on fire about, the CBD oils, CBD oils or whatever the heck you call them, the garbage. All it is is the Rockefellers and the big pharma and all these other big politicians trying to push opioids down people to desensitize and dumb down the citizens of this country. The Bible talks about this in here. Sedations. Talks about being sedated. Altered mindset. You know, when you alter your mindset like that, you entered into a portal of demons. You actually open the porthole of demons. I mean, even with liquor, even with dealing with alcohol, hard liquor. That they call it spirits for a reason, because you're tapping into the spirit world with it. That in the marijuana, doing marijuana, getting all smoked up on marijuana, you're dealing with hallucinations, living in an altered conscience, state of altered consciousness. Being all smoked up like that, you're playing with demons, doctrines of demons. And these churches say, oh, God created it. Yeah, God created cyanide too, doesn't mean we're supposed to eat it. God created Tide Pods too, but hey, wait, people are already eating that, right? I mean, seriously, we've got to come to our senses on this. We've got to acknowledge, in order to anybody to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must lay your life on that altar. That everything has to die. Go Go with me to Romans 10:9. I mean, what I had to do to get become born, what I had to do was, I had to learn slowly but surely to forsake everything that I wanted. And I had to start, God started making me accept who I am. The greatness in me. And yes, and a year later, I remember a year later, we were at the New Year's Ablaze at Life Christian Church, which is Life Church now. It's a different location, but we were at the old location up on our own where Pastor David Crank is at, and I remember sitting up in the balcony. I remember sitting there, and I remember somebody handing me something. It was a pamphlet for River Bible Institute. He goes, "You need to serve God's kingdom. I see God saying you need to serve my kingdom," and I'm thinking, great, here comes that voice again. I kind of chuckled and threw it away. That summer, I was packing up and I was heading to River Bible Institute. God's had to really show me some things in my life. He's had to really show me some things that I'm really capable of doing. He's had to work with me a long way, work on my confidence, because I had a lot of people. Even when after I became called to ministry, there was a lot of pastors who tried to wear my confidence, tried to tell me I was promoting myself, that I was promoting myself, that I was being insecure, that I needed to get help, and it because they had their favorite people all picked out for ministry, and I wasn't one of their favorites. I don't want to be your favorite. Come to think of it. And then it wound up, years later, they wound up turning on the pastor anyway, so much for their favorite groups. And they tried to go into ministry, and some of them tried to start churches, and, you know, and it all went up in smoke. So, you know what, I forgive you. You know, I hold nothing against you, but you need to get saved. You need to understand what ministry is all about. It's not about having a group of people being in playing favorites. Romans 10:9. You know, I mean, the new pastors we have now, Pastor Josh and Tori, Pastor Rick and Donna, Pastor Matt and Cammie, couldn't ask for a greater bunch. I'm going to go to a different one. Galatians 5:22. Sorry, I had a long weekend. Not 5:22. Anyway, just skip this. Anyway, I'm not gonna go there. Anyway, I've read enough scripture for tonight. Anyway, basically, what Jesus is saying here in John 3 is, you just got to be born again. When he told Nicodemus, you've got to become born again. No matter what, you got to become born again. Even though Nicodemus could have gotten killed for talking to Jesus, he was taking the risk to step over. And I believe Nicodemus actually wound up getting saved. But bottom line is, You've got to give it all up. You've got to understand one of the things that God spoke to me about, and he corrected me on, he goes, son, you need to let me be good enough in you. You're not letting me be good enough in you. And that's the thing you gotta do with a born again believer. You gotta let God be good enough in you. Throw away your own confidence. It's not my confidence. I'm stepping over into your confidence, Lord. I don't want my confidence. I don't want my confidence, or my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith God. My plans are not your plans. And it wasn't God's plan for me to perish and for me to go off in some... But to thank God that I did give my life to Christ. Since giving my life to Christ, six pneumothoraxes. Five of them they had to do major surgery on. I've had other issues. Thank God I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God I didn't make that mistake. Thank God I didn't make the mistake of walking away. I could have gotten that and walked away and gotten killed in a car. I'd gotten killed that night in a bar fight or something. And never saw my beautiful children, my beautiful wife, have this beautiful studio. It's not what people say about you. Just because a pastor has pastor in front of their name doesn't mean anything. Unless they got the money, they got what it takes to back up what they're saying. Pastor Josh and Tori, Pastor Rick and Donna, Pastor Tammy and Matt, they got what it takes. They got what it takes. Even Pastor Esther and Vernon, Pastor Mikey and Laura, they can back up who they are. They pretty much got what it takes to back up who they are. Pastor Rodney, he can back it up. Pastor Basil, Dr. Basil, can back it up. Gilroy, he can back up who he is. Because they got this to back them up. They're living by the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. That which was is born again by the Spirit shall be ruled by the Spirit, and their flesh shall rule them not. It talks about the drunkenness, being addicted to drugs. It goes into detail. I'm not making this up. I might as well go back to it. Might as well. This is about helping you get set free. What's this have to do with revival? It has everything to do with revival. It has everything, absolutely everything to do with revival. It's about bringing people into the kingdom. It's about setting the captives free. About delivering those who are bound and oppressed by the devil. Bible says Jesus went around about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. It means people who were bound by drugs too, and bound by their addictions, bound by alcohol, lust, and everything. He came to deliver it all. He can deliver you too. I'm going to skip that on Galatians 5:22 because I'm tired. Anyway, I'm going to close this with this. There's people out here that are listening to me. You're bound by alcohol and drugs. You're bound by everything. You're bound by things of this world. It's time to come home to Jesus. It's time to give your life. It's time to step over into the heavenly realm. It's time to step over into the things of God in that newness of life. You're living your life without Jesus right now. You're living life in sin. I want to make an invitation for you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to give your life to Jesus. I want you to say this prayer with me. Dear Father God, I come to you in the name of your Son Jesus to be born again of the Spirit and to be baptized in your Holy Ghost. I forsake the things of this world. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Holy Spirit, baptize me. Consume my life. Let me never be the same again. Transform my life. And I thank you for all that you do, and that all you're going to do in my life. From this day forward, I accept you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for washing me in your blood and washing away my sins. In Jesus' name, and I'll never be the same. Amen. Well, you enjoyed this program. Hope you enjoyed the program. If you want to email me, you want to give your life, you give your life to Christ, you need prayer, call me. The number is 63. Call or text me, 636-368-6490. Email me, revivalistjfs3@gmail.com. Email me prayer requests. I want prayer requests. I want everything. Email me. Please email me. You're not bothering me. Text me. You're not bothering me. I want you to be able to bother me. That's what I'm here for. Amen. Well, I love you. Well, this is a production of Revival Now International Media Ministries. For more information on our ministry, please email me at revivalistjfs3@gmail.com. God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.